But we've looked at the four. This is the fourth one today in the New Testament. And we're going to see in just a little bit, this book of Jude. The book of Jude is right back in the back of your Bible, Revelation, back up one. And there's Jude. Better watch it. It's only one page, only 25 verses. But this little book speaks about pledging your allegiance to the Lamb and making Jesus Christ first in your life and not selling out. 25 verses. So many churches today have sold out. They preach everything but the Bible. And so today is a... So let's get into it right now. Post-it notes from God. And that's where I'm thankful I've got the assistance of Roger the Dodger Johnson. And guess what? If the sound fouls up, the video's still good, right? I'll lose the headset and screen. All right?
As long as we have power.
As long as we got power. All right. Here we go. Anyway, there's a common thread that I have seen that runs through each of these little post-it notebooks in the New Testament. Now, if you would have asked me before I started studying these four books, if I would have known this common thread, I wouldn't have. It's just the beauty of studying God's Word. Amen? Amen. And you can see something. And so, what I saw was this. In these four little post-it notebooks, we see truth and love. Can you say that with me? Truth and love. And the two need to go together.
Amen.
It's not just about the truth and it's not just about love. I have seen truth and love go together in each of these little one chapter books.
Amen.
And they're a little difficult to understand, but I tell you what, that's what I'm seeing. Now, a couple of things. Just a quick review. In Philemon, how did we see it? Well, we saw there was a runaway slave named Onesimus. He ran to Rome, and Paul shared with him the truth of the gospel. He did it in love. Amen? And he got saved. But the truth of the matter was, he needed to go back to where he'd run away from and face up to his master. And Paul pled for his case, and he knew it would all work out. But see, you need truth and love. It had to happen that way. And then we also saw in the little book of 2 John, we saw truth and love. And we made this statement, truth without love can lead to legalism. If it's all truth, 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 nobody can ever function right. You know, with all that rules, they're driving you crazy, won't it? Sorry. How about love without truth can lead to liberalism or license? Oh, we just love each other, baby. It doesn't matter what you believe. All roads lead to heaven. Let's smoke some, right? Love is great, but it needs truth.
Amen.
The truth of the Word of God. They go together. 3 John, we saw it last week. There was a man, his name was Gaius, and he was what kind of man? A good man. Because there were these traveling pastors, preachers rather, in the New Testament. The church was just getting going. And Gaius would open up his home and he would care for these guys and he would love on them. But there was a guy. Another guy named Diotrephes. See if you remember. He was a jerk. And he was probably the pastor. And he wouldn't help these preachers. It was all about the truth. He had no love, did he? I'm telling you. So we see it through all of these books. Truth and love. Truth and love. Truth and love. Let's put it on the board, Rod. You see how we're using post-it notes and the cork board and everything? Isn't that cool? In the book of Jude, we see the harsh reality of what happens when truth and love are not the anchor of the Christian church.
Amen.
When that happens, here's what happens. She drifts into dangerous waters. When the church of Jesus Christ gets away from the Word of the living God, she drifts into dangerous waters. Let's do a quick test. How many of you, some of your old times, have been around a while, you've seen the church, I'm talking about the church at large, you've seen it drift into dangerous waters in your lifetime. Can I see it? Say, look at the hands all around you, young people. They've seen it. So Jude talks about this. So let's go into the book now this morning. Jude was written by guess who? There you go. Y'all giving us stuff. Look at that. Jude was written by Jude. Verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So it was written by Jude. He was the brother of James, but watch it. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. Half-brother of Jesus. Let's look at the scriptures and see where it says that. Mark 6:3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of who? Jude. And Simon. And are not those his sisters, etc. So Jude was the brother of James and half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now why do I say all that? Okay? We'll find out in just a second. Apparently, Jude didn't believe in Jesus Christ until sometime after the resurrection. Let's see the scripture on it. John 7:5. For neither did his what? Brethren. Some of you have family members you've been praying for years. You have friends. And some of you are feeling discouraged. You're giving up. Listen to me. Hey, Jesus even had trouble reaching his own family. Stay with it. Come on. Keep praying. Keep believing. Jude came around. Amen. Probably somewhere after the resurrection. Here's another scripture on that. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, or Jude, the brother of James. And then verse 14, these all continued one accord in prayer, supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So he came to know the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is who we're talking about today. Jude wrote a book. Something else. Jude didn't pull the rank. Here's what I mean by that. He was who now? The brother of James and the half-brother of Jesus. Let me tell you something. If Jesus was my half-brother, and I wrote a book called Get It, it would start like this. Jude, oh, Get It, Get It. The half-brother of Jesus. You know what I mean? I'd brag about it. I'd wear a t-shirt. I'd put a hat on. And I'd probably hold it over your head. You know? But Jude didn't do that. He didn't pull rank. Look at what Jude said about himself. Look at it. He called himself what? Boy, isn't that good right there? I tell you, he's the servant of Jesus. So as we progress in the book, now let's move along a little bit. Another post-it note. Jude had every intention of writing a nice, sweet letter. When you open your Bible and you read it, we're going to see it this morning. He had every intention of writing a nice, sweet letter. But something happened. Let's see what happened. Oh, yeah, let's see the scriptures. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the what? Say it with me. See, he wanted to write to them about being saved. That's what he was going to do. He's going to write to them like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. I'll be my Savior and my God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. That's what he's going to write. You know, when the road is called up yonder. That was the letter he's going to write. But wait a second. Watch it. His tune changed. His tune changed. Why did his tune change? And we're going to find out this morning in the scriptures. He wanted to write a sweet letter. Oh, how great it is to be in Jesus. Amen. That's what he's going to write. But something happened. It was, what's the word? Can you see it? Needful. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, I don't know if you felt it. We had a little momentum swift here. You had a little change here in momentum. He could write a sweet letter. But all of a sudden, the Spirit came on. And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible, friend. When you hold the living Word of God in your hand, the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired of the Holy Spirit. It says, holy men of old spake as the Holy Ghost come upon it, and they were moved to write. We say our Bible is a God-breathed book. It's not like any other book, friend. Do you know that amen or amen? It's not like any other book.
Amen.
It's the Word of the living God. We here at Fellowship believe it is absolutely perfect. Flat out period.
Amen.
It is the holy Word of God. Amen. And so he writes and he says, we've got to fight for that faith. We've got to fight for what we believe. Now let's keep moving. The Holy Spirit detoured him, sent him in another direction totally. Instead of a sweet letter, what's going to happen? Keep moving, Raj. What was going to be a sweet letter turns graphic, and it turns pointing. So it's a tough letter. Are you ready? Are y'all setting up ready for the letter or not?
Yeah.
Okay, it can get ugly here in a heartbeat. You hear me?
Yeah.
You ever opened a letter you really didn't want to read? Sorry.
There you go.
Here you go. Here's one right here. This is, say it with me, an emergency. This is how this letter is written. This is an emergency. The Holy Spirit came on. I'm not going to write about how great you got it in the sweet by and by because it isn't great in the church. There's problems in the church. There's struggles in the church. People are selling out. That's what you'd say. There's an emergency in the church. So let's look at it. Here we go. He writes about, I lost everybody. Apostasy. Apostasy. He writes about who? Is that an apostle? What's apostasy? Well, I want to put it in plain English so you can understand it. Here it is. He writes about the turning away of the church from the truth of God's Word. Can you say that with me? He writes about the turning away of the church from the truth of God's Word. That is what apostasy is. Apostasy is a big fancy theological word we use. It's the right word. But to understand it, it means when the church turns away from the teaching of the Bible. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
That's called apostasy. So Jude writes about it. He said it's happening in my day. His book is also prophetic. It talks about what will happen in the future. I quite frankly believe we're living in that day right now. When churches are selling out, when preachers preach, but you don't know what they said. And what did that have to do with the Bible? You know, have any of you been there before and heard that? Listen, it's about the Word of God. That's what we're to proclaim. So Jude writes this letter. So now let's look at it. He says this, you should earnestly contend for the faith. What does earnestly contend mean? Here's what it means. Flip it. It means we are to agonize with diligence. Did you know what I'm supposed to do as a pastor and you're supposed to do as a Christian and a lay person who's trying to serve the Lord and love Jesus Christ? You are to agonize with diligence to keep the faith. The faith of the Word of God. The faith speaks of the Word of God. We shouldn't have a casual attitude about it. Like when somebody says, well, Mary was a good woman, but she wasn't a virgin. Something ought to run up your back. Did you hear it? When somebody says to you, well, I mean, you know, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God. Something ought to run up your back. Did you hear me?
Right.
When somebody says to you that, you know, you don't believe in that hell stuff and, you know, people going to hell and all that, something ought to run up your back. Did you hear me say?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. You can't just have, well, I just want to love everybody and be friends and, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all been the sweet by and by. Amen. Friend, you've got to agonize with diligence if you're going to keep
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
I don't know about you. Sometimes my Christian life is a little bit of a struggle.
Amen.
And I have to agonize a little bit. I have to dig in the book and I have to try to stay steady.
Yes.
It's a work, friend.
Amen.
We don't work to get to heaven. We sure do agonize to keep the faith. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we need to do. Jude says that. So there's a warning. Here we go. Cancer within the body.
Amen.
Here's what happens. When churches get away from teaching the Word of God, it becomes a cancer inside the body of Christ. Nobody wants cancer, do they? It becomes a cancer. So what I want to do now, if you have your scriptures, you can follow along, maybe write a little note, but we're going to go over some of the symptoms. Let's look at it. Here we go. Jude 1:4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before old ordained to this condemnation. What condemnation? From turning away from God's Word. They crept in. They're ungodly men. Boy, that's just plain English, isn't it? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's license. Anything goes. And denying the only Lord God. Did you see that word? What's that word over there in the corner? Say it. Oh, that word only. Can you say that?
Only.
There is only one Lord God. That is who? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the bottom. That's what the Bible teaches. Well, that sounds narrow-minded. That's what the Bible teaches. You know what I mean? I can't help it. It's great. That's, I love it when things are plain English, black and white. I can know what to do in life. I like that. Amen. Give me the instructions. That's what I need in my life.
Amen.
That's what the book says.
Amen.
So let's see some of the symptoms. Here they are. The cancer of apostasy. Number one, they are ungodly. What does that mean? There's no respect or reverence of God. Number two, we're just going to fly. They turn God's grace into license. That means anything goes. The way you feel, that's great, baby. Do what you want to do. That's apostasy. Number three, they deny the Lord God, our only Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop for a second. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, there was a church in town, a prominent church. Now, this might offend some of you. Sorry. Here it is. They had a meeting of world religions. Of world religions. I'm not talking about other denominations of Christian faith. I'm talking world religions. To see if we can come to common ground in a meeting of the minds. And so somebody called me and asked me what I thought. I said, I think it's a bunch of bull.
Amen.
Listen, friend, I want to speak with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I can't find common ground. If you believe Mohammed's going to get you to heaven, it ain't happening.
Amen.
I don't have any common ground with you. If you're going to, and that's going to do the job, it's not going to, I don't have common ground there, friend. I have common ground that you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. I have a common ground we all need help. I've got common ground there, amen. I've got common ground that, you know, I mean, I love you. I got common ground there, but I don't have common ground. I don't have the. God has not helped. Has not given me the right to change His word.
Amen.
Amen.
He has not given me the right to deny the Lord God and our only Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is, and that might bother some of you. But listen, friend, that's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And you got to stick with it. Jude wanted to write a nice, sweet letter. Let's all get together. You'll be happy. But the Spirit came on.
Amen.
And when the Spirit comes on, you got to do the right thing. Listen.
Amen.
This is the cancer. It's in the body of Christ. It is. Number four. Verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. Number four, they're given over to sensuality and defile the flesh. Mike and I were talking about this morning in the truck when we prayed. But it's said that to satisfy sexual deviancy, that you change the Bible. Did that make any sense to you? You can't just accept the forgiveness of God in His way, but to have your lifestyle approved, if you're homosexual, excuse me, listen, that you then say, well, that's okay, because God's word doesn't speak against that. This is an okay kind of lifestyle. It's not. Adultery is not okay. It's not. That is apostasy when we start living that way and we say, well, I know the Bible says it, but it doesn't really mean that. No, it does mean that.
Amen.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Amen.
Have you entered a hurricane this morning in the building? Oh my gosh, what have I gotten so into? If you're visiting today, I don't apologize. Okay? Here we go, number five. They reject divine and human authority. Despise dominion. See, the point is, it's when you can take the word and you can change it to mean what you say. What you're doing is rejecting divine authority. You're rejecting God. But I love Jesus. No, you don't. You're rejecting His authority when you say, it doesn't mean that, or I don't care what you say. And then some of the people, like some might be here today, they'll be upset with me, a poor human boy from Rockingham, North Carolina, because I'm sharing the truth.
Amen.
So you just reject it out of hand. That's not what you should do. We need to repent. Amen? Get right in the Lord. Accept His truth. Accept His grace. Accept His forgiveness.
Yes.
Don't change it. Accept His love and what He's done. Yes. He can change you. Don't change Him because He ain't changing.
Amen.
Number six.
Yes.
Likewise also these filthy dreamers, they devour the flesh, despise the dominion. Look at verse number nine. This is a strange verse in the Bible. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but he said the Lord rebuked him. And that's a strange verse, and a couple of different thoughts on that verse. But here's the gist of what I'm trying to get across. They ridicule the supernatural. There are many people today, many pastors, preachers, teachers in churches, that say there is no such thing as the supernatural. There's no such thing as angels. You know what, friend? I haven't ever seen an angel, but I believe in them.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says they exist. I can sure think of experiences in my life when I couldn't explain it any other way that it must have been an angel.
Amen.
You know, but I don't know. But I certainly don't ridicule the fact that they exist.
Amen.
Some people stand in pulpits across America. They don't believe in the existence of Satan, a real devil. Why do I believe in him? Because I think he's changing me half the time.
Amen.
God. You know? No, why do I believe it? Because Jesus was tempted by him. The Word of God speaks of his existence. What am I saying? It's apostasy when we say, oh, that didn't happen. That's just a metaphor. You know? Listen, that's what I'm talking about. I know it's a strange message, but these are the little post-it notes. God must have put those little notes in the Bible for a reason, friend.
Amen.
And we need them stuck on us. Look at number 7. Look at this. They speak evil of those things which they know not. Number 7 would be they mock at things they do not understand. What do I mean by that? There are churches that proclaim to teach in Jesus' name, but listen, they don't believe creation. You don't believe in creation, do you? You know why I believe in creation? Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I believe in creation. But you know what? I'm fortunate that you don't have to deposit your brain in a garbage can when you become a Christian. You have a brain and you can look and you can think. And if you want to think that you came from a monkey, that's all right with me. Okay? But I believe I was fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
I believe it. The Bible teaches it. There are people that don't believe in, that stand in the pulpits, but don't believe in Noah and the flood. You don't believe in that flood stuff. How can all the animals get in the boat? No, I got it. Listen, friend, let me tell you something. I'm not going to mock at things I don't understand.
Amen.
God's Word said it. I believe it. And quite frankly, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be far better off, instead of being apostate, to believe God's Word.
Amen.
And you know what? Things I don't understand, I chalk it up to Clark's statements. Not that God is ignorant. Because He is not ignorant, friend. He's a holy God. He's given us His Word. Mocking at things that they don't understand, which, you know, can go with the resurrection and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Friend, when you start mocking at things you don't understand and just oh, that didn't happen, friend, you're giving yourself just over to apostasy also. I'm afraid you're putting yourself in danger of hellfire. Bad situation. Look at number 8. Oh, it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. When we don't have faith in His Word, we're not pleasing Him.
Amen.
We must believe that He is what? He is.
Yes.
He's rewarded them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 says. Look at number 8, this last thing, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is bring peace to those things they corrupt themselves. They do what comes to them naturally. I cannot be the kind of preacher I should be, a pastor, if I just stand up here and do what comes naturally.
That's right.
I mean, I can smile and grin and say, I'm a rocket in North Carolina. But you know what? That's about as far as that can go.
That's right.
I better have something other to preach than, well, you know, let me tell you a story about a man named Jed, poor mountaineer, better get him fed. Yeah, that ain't gonna fly. We better have some substance.
Amen.
And the Word of God is full of some good stuff if we dig and we find it. Amen?
Amen?
But I just can't do what comes naturally. But churches today, honestly, they're full of people. They're gifted speakers, I guess, but they're doing what comes to them naturally.
That's right.
We do what comes to us supernaturally.
Amen.
It comes to us from the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
So anyway, this is the cancer of apostasy. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are what? They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. You're understood. Now here's, we'll keep going. Let's keep moving on. I want you to see something. I know that this is a sort of a deep message. I hope you're with me though. Hang on.
Amen.
Here it is. These 8 things can describe churches today that have sold out. I mean, they're just anything goes. There's no real truth, but we love you. It can describe churches like that. Some of you have shared with me that you've been brokenhearted and disappointed. Churches that once stood for the truth and preached Jesus Christ are no longer doing that. And it's discouraging. I know it is. These describe that. But listen to me. There's another side of this coin. And I want you to see it right quick. And we're going to fly, Raj, real fast. Listen to the next several symptoms. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaks great swelling words. They have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They are grumblers and fault finders. This is apostasy. This is some more symptoms. They're grumblers and fault finders. You ever been in a church where people grumbled and they always found fault in everything you did? Yes or no? That's apostasy. The church ought not be a place where I look down your nose all the time telling you, you need to do this, you need to do that, this ain't right, you got to wear this length of skirt, you got to have your hair above your ears, and boy, you got to do this, you got to do that, please, Jesus. Listen, friend, that's apostasy. Grumbling and fault finding. Look at the next one. They are proud. There's some church you go into, good grief, you feel like you can go into things don't fall out. I mean, because you're imperfect. We're all imperfect. The church ought not be a place where we are so proud and look at me and how great I am.
Amen.
The church ought to be a place that's woe is me. Look at how pitiful I am, and thank God Jesus saved me.
Amen.
And they're proud. Number three, they're arrogant. Look down on you. Their church is like, look down on you. Number four, Jude 1:19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're divisive. We just saw that in another verse. Number five, they're sensual. They put a strong emphasis on the flesh, what we do in the flesh. Number six, they are not Spirit-led. And now this takes me to this last one. I thank you for staying with me. Hang in here. This is really important. I think Jude did want to write a sweet letter, and I wish I had a sweet letter for you today. I just don't have one. Okay? Sorry. The first eight describe churches that sold out. These last six, look, describe churches that major on the what? You know what I'm seeing in you? Truth and love. Did you know what? When we major on minors, when we become so judgmental, when we get so focused on the external, and we become legalistic and rules-oriented, that's apostasy, friend. Anytime you and I take over, it's apostasy. Whether we go way to the left or we go way to the right, the key is walking in the line, baby. Truth and love. Truth and love. Truth and love. Truth and love. So both are apostasy and both are condemned in the Word of God. Now let's look at Roger's ugly two-headed monster. Apostasy is an ugly two-headed monster. He's sort of cute. Wouldn't you like one of those at home? She's nodding her head. She likes that. Here we go. The ugly two-headed monster is this. License, anything goes. Legalism, nothing goes. If that makes any sense to you. License, doesn't matter. Legalism, you can't do anything. You can't go out of your home. You can't watch TV. You can't listen to the radio. You can't do anything. You can't go to the beach. When I grew up as a kid, the beach was sinful. It was. You couldn't. My church told me, you cannot go to the beach. That's what my church told me. You can't go to the beach. It's sinful there. And sure, people are half clothed at the beach. I agree. Sure enough. But you know what? I go to the beach. And by the way, guess what? I live in a beach town. I'm going to the beach. And I'm going to wear a bathing suit. God help you if you see me without a shirt on. All right? It's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, we need to have balance in our life. It's not for me to control your life. You're to let the Lord control you and work in your heart. Amen. Let's keep moving. God will not tolerate apostasy. You might say this morning, I can do what I want. And these churches, many of them are doing it. I don't like to preach a message where I'm looking down on churches. I'm not trying to do that. It's what I'm trying to make a point. I don't know if I'm doing it. I'm trying. But God will not tolerate apostasy. This is all in the book of Jude. Here's three historical examples. And we're not going to take time to read the verses. I'm just going to go over real quick. The children of Israel was one. What happened to the children of Israel? They grumbled and they complained. Did God let them into the promised land? Yes or no? They died in the what? Wilderness! You turn from God, God will judge you. He judged his own people. You don't think he'll judge you? Sure he will. He's not going to bless that. Look at this one. Angels who fell. This is the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He's reserved into everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great God. Angels who rebelled against God are in a place reserved to everlasting judgment. God judges apostasy when we turn away from Him. He did the children of Israel. He did angels. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? Look at what the Bible says. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of men in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. They're set forth as a what? As an example. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The point is, it's not a pleasant message. Jude didn't write a happy letter. But the point of the matter is, he's saying, if the church goes that way, God will judge. Here's the second thing. There's three historic examples. Here's three personal examples that are in this little book. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the era of Balaam. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So what's all that about? Cain, instead of offering a blood sacrifice, he offered what? The toil of his hands, right? Vittles, or vegetables, okay? He didn't offer a blood sacrifice. There are churches today that teach that you don't need the blood of Jesus. What are you talking about? He shed his blood so we could live.
Amen.
There are churches you'll never need Jesus' blood, don't you? Friend, Jesus shed his blood. Let me tell you something, friend. He died so you can have life.
Amen.
You better not reject that message. You'll follow the way of Cain. Look at the next one. Balaam. This guy was a false money grubbing prophet. The church today is full of people and leaders who want nothing more than your money. And that's the truth. I hate to say it, makes me ashamed. But the fact of the matter is it true? Yes or no?
Sure.
Of course it is. And God ain't putting up with it. Judgment's coming. Look at the third thing. Korah. He led a rebellion against Moses. And if you read number 16, the earth opened up and swallowed him and his cohorts. What is that about? There's a rebellion in the church today, many times, not just of pastors, but of the people in the church, wanting authority, wanting a feather in their cap, wanting to come to church and somehow have some great position. That's not what it's about, friend. I don't want to be Cain, Balaam, or Korah. Amen? So God will judge. And here's the last thing. Five pictorial examples. Five pictures He gives us. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. This is talking about the Lord's Supper. He was talking about these apostates have come into your body and they feast. Listen, but they're spots. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they are clouds without water, carried about in winds. They're trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Verse 13, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, their wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What's that talking about? Here it is, quickly. These are five pictures. Apostasy, listen, when we get away from teaching God's word, listen to me, it becomes melanoma. That's what that is. When we get away from God's word and we fill up the teaching with my opinion, God don't think this, no, I don't think that, la, la, la. It becomes a blemish on the church of Christ. Did you hear me? Number two, apostasy is clouds without water. Churches that don't preach the truth of the word of God, you leave feeling empty. Why did I go? If we don't have the message of the Bible, we have nothing. Number three, trees without fruit. Churches that aren't preaching the truth of the word of God and Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, are deader than a hammer. And they're not leading people to Christ, they're barren. Number four, they're raging waves, the Bible says. I looked out my window yesterday down by the water. Here's the waves, and there was foam all along the shore. And you know what? It was just a bunch of goop and glop. And preaching that doesn't preach Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God ain't nothing but a bunch of glop and goofy. It's a shame is what it is. Number five, the Bible says wandering star. Look at that star. Look at it again, Raj. Whee! It's a wandering star. Listen. What is that? That means shooting stars. Did you know a shooting star is useless? All it is whoop, whoop, that pretty. And quite frankly, if our message is not based on the Scriptures, we're nothing more than a shooting star. We're nothing more than a flash in the pan. We want to make eternal difference. Amen? Stars help ships navigate. We want to be a light. We want to light up our world. We don't want to be a wandering star. Now, having said all that today, here's the final thing today. How can I guard myself against it? It's in Jude. How can I guard myself against falling away? Okay, I know this isn't a happy jump up and down message this morning. It's important. Here it is. How do I guard myself against apostasy? Jude 1:20. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Number one. How can I guard myself? Build myself up in the faith. What does that mean? I need and you need to spend time in God's Word. In the Bible. Did you hear? Can you say that with me? Build yourself up in the what? Faith. If you're going to fall prey to this apostasy, it's going to be because you let it happen. You let it happen. And I let it happen because we're not in the Word of God. Build yourself up in the faith. Number two, pray in the Holy Ghost. See, Jude was written about last days. Friend, this is no time for now. Lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I mean, it's okay for kids. Listen to me, friend. We need to be saying some serious prayers. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray with fervor and with fire. And God, help me and light me up. And Lord, I don't want to just write a nice letter. I want you to come into my life and help me to have power. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God. Look at verse 21. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do I guard myself against apostasy? Keep yourself in the love of God. What does that mean? That's a little open-ended. That's sort of a tough thought to even really digest. But you know what, friend? My focus of our ministry and your ministry ought to be Jesus loves me. Did you hear me? Jesus loves me. And I need to trust Him as my Savior. And you know what? He said, we're to love others. And here at Fellowship, we say we love Jesus. And we love people. That needs to be the focus of our ministry. It needs to be where we're at. We need to keep ourselves in that sweet spot. In the love of God. Knowing that God loves you, friend. Number four. God didn't write this book to condemn you. He wrote it to build you. Things you don't understand, you don't agree. He wants to build you in the faith. Number four. Witness to others with compassion. Look at this verse. And of some having compassion, making a difference. How can I guard against apostasy? I need to reach out to other people with compassion. I need to share the gospel with them. I need to share love with them. That's going to help me stay true to God. Number five. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We sang it this morning. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The last thing, put your complete confidence in Jesus Christ. How can I not become apostate? These are five things right from the Word of God. Put my complete confidence in Jesus Christ. When I start putting my confidence in me, and I stand over the Word instead of the Word being the authority over me, that's when I've got problems. Amen? You understand? A tough message this morning. Sorry. It's life. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. And I pray that You'll bless it now, Lord. Help us now to digest. Oh, Lord, so much. Maybe too much this morning, Lord. But I just got to trust You, Lord, that You'll take this Word. Lord, You know my heart. My heart wasn't to offend. But, Lord, it's Your Word. And I got to be true to it, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that You've given me a Word I can preach. And I can have complete, absolute confidence in it. And I don't need to be ashamed. God, I just pray You'll bless the Word in our hearts. Help us, we pray for You.